Continental Tyres, AFL Trade Radio.
You're listening to Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio. Stephen Silvani, David Noble, Damien Barrett with you. Guys, we received it about 10, 15, 20 minutes ago. A statement from the ABC, and this is the headline. Statement on the ABC's reporting of Hawthorn Football Club racism allegations. I'll wade through it. It is significant. The ABC would like to address misleading public commentary regarding Russell Jackson's reporting. I'll just move through that. It has been stated or implied that the three former Hawthorn employees named in the story were denied a fair opportunity to properly respond to the ABC's reporting. This is incorrect. On Monday, September 19, and into the following day, all three were contacted multiple times by the ABC via email, phone call, and text. Also contacted were the media teams at Hawthorn and Brisbane and the personal management of one of the individuals. They were provided with all relevant information about the allegations. They were asked detailed and open-ended questions that gave them the opportunity to fully respond to all the allegations. After initially receiving no response, the ABC contacted all the parties again and offered them more time in which to respond. We again received no response to the questions. Statements provided by Hawthorn and the AFL were included in the story, and the ABC has reported comments that have subsequently been made. While Russell Jackson's story reports on the existence of the External Review commissioned by Hawthorn and some allegations made within it, his story was not based on that review and does not quote its contents. His reporting was based entirely on original interviews conducted with primary sources after he was alerted to this difficult and important story. His reporting has been accurate, fair, and ethical. And that statement has effectively been signed by Sally Jackson, ABC Communications. It's yet another step. It's another phase of this whole story, which gets us no closer to finding any form of resolution on any front. And what it clearly does too, guys, just as we debate this as part of the greater overall story, it just puts a line in the sand from the ABC's perspective, is that they're not conceding anything that is being said about their involvement in it, and they're backing their journalist, as good news organisations do and should do. And what it does is, again, I suppose, set in stone the defiance of the people making the allegations against the people who've had the allegations made against them. And I just keep going back to this story breaking 6 a.m. or thereabouts 2 Wednesdays ago, so 9 days ago, on that very same day, Gillon McLachlan said it was his hope to have a four-person panel formed to fully investigate it independently. That hasn't happened. We're now 9 days in. He said that on the day it happened. And also on that same day, he said there was a hope and he would like to wrap it up inside 6 to 8 weeks. There is no chance that is going to happen. There was no chance it was going to happen then. We're already 9 days now into it. It is not happening. I just don't see how this story does ever have a resolution that is going to be satisfactory to every single person concerned in it. And obviously, as these days now drag on, that the likelihood that both Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan, while they are absolutely deserving of and need their time with due process and natural justice, will actually get a chance to have that served out inside the timeframe, Soss and David, of the resumption of pre-season training and going into the actual 2023 season.
So am I right to assume that there's the ABC report and then there's the Hawthorn report?
Yes.
They're two separate things, yeah. Here, aren't there?
Yeah, and it's a good question you ask. Some people who are even quite close to this, I don't think, are aware that a lot of the reporting of in fact, as stated in that release,
yeah,
most of the ABC report was Russell Jackson's work separate to the actual contents of the report. I mean, there is a reference there that he did refer to the report, and there may have been some certain paragraphs in it that did. But ultimately, the interviews he conducted were, yeah, separate to the Hawthorn report itself.
Yeah. So for me, this, like, it starts to separate the two out. For me, I was a bit confused, I must admit, initially, that it was sort of merging into one where this statement, obviously, from the ABC is saying, well, the report from their reporter was flagged and hasn't been responded to, and then the report from that Hawthorn engaged was sent to the AFL.
That was indeed the case,
yeah,
as well.
So,
yep.
Yeah. It's tricky. It's so, just, wow.
So, Damo, have the accused people,
yep.
have they got a responsibility to get back to the ABC if they feel as though, well, you know, what you're saying we don't feel is correct and
yeah.
I don't know anything about it?
No, look, I mean, to answer your question, they don't. I mean, they can do whatever they want. But what has been conveyed in the now many statements that both Chris Fagan and Alistair Clarkson and the clubs have made yep. is that an inference, and I don't want to get too bogged down in the minutiae of it, but an inference that they didn't get that right. Now, they certainly didn't get it right.
They haven't got a right to respond to the report that Hawthorne had prepared.
Yeah. And that's also part of their public statements.
But in relation to the ABC, they weren't required to respond.
No, there's no obligation to. No, but there's practice, and you know this, Sos, and anyone listening to this, there's practice. If you're going to write something or say something about someone, you owe them the right to respond if they want to. Now, again, Chris Fagan, we believe, and was having player exit interviews on this period in question. And and while, you know, clearly the ABC is not going to make that statement today without knowing that it was received, the opportunity to reply. But without knowing anything about it to that point, and they didn't, these guys, if he is in his diary to have all these exit interviews with players, he's not going to drop everything, I would have thought, and until he got his head around it. Now, again, he's chosen not to, and still to this point hasn't, apart from the statements he's made. But again, so you've now, to your point, the layers of it, the separation of the report itself, and again, the legalities attached to all of what's going to happen. I just don't see how this doesn't hit the courts of the land. I mean, we're going to get an AFL investigation, an independent one. We're yet to know even one person on the four-person panel, let alone how that's going to work, what scope it's got, what questions it's got to ask, what powers it's got to compel people to appear before it. The courts of the land have those powers, but an independent investigation by a sports body doesn't. And how that looks, what it means, and ultimately with every single passing hour on this, it just gets pushed back as to these two coaches have chosen to stand down. And I just can't see how they can then resume their careers as coaches without there being a form of finding on this from an AFL perspective. They've both just chosen to stand down. I believe that they are both revisiting those decisions as we speak. In fact, I know one of the two is in quite a significant way as to, well, what would happen if I was to just walk back in on a certain date. Now, I don't see that happening. I think people around these people at the moment. But at the same time, the emotion attached to what they're dealing with is obviously profound. And clearly on the statements they've now issued publicly so strongly, they don't feel they've done anything wrong. And as such, you know, why should we be standing down? And how are we going to get the due process that obviously has to be factored in at some stage of it, when to this point they haven't had that chance in a proper forum to properly defend the allegations made against them?
I suppose that they're thinking they've chosen to step away. They've not been asked by the club or the AFL that there's any potential breach, and so therefore the capacity to move back in of some shape or form to continue until such time as they're instructed to. The difficulty for me at the moment with all involved is trying to find the independency of, and now my thinking is, are they trying to find something for both parties that's going to placate that ability to be seen as independent? Is it something from a judge and a governmental department? Is it something that the AFL become involved in rather than running it themselves? It seems like that for me, how I think, Damo, is that that's what's taking the time, is to be able to placate all parties where they're seen to be given the opportunity to be heard independently and fairly.
Hmm.
And they can't rush this.
But they simply can't.
No.
It clashes with the natural justice component to it, because that has to take time. And I mean, the standing down, which came in the 24 hours after the story broke, that was in a, I suppose, a mindset of this could be wrapped up inside 8 weeks, because that's what the AFL indicated. Again, if you go back to that point in time, it was a haze, and the maelstrom of actually trying to absorb what was being written and what it meant and how could this happen. And then you go 9 days down and we've now got a lot of denials and angry denials, and there's anger behind the scenes on all of this. And as I said, the coaches themselves are now thinking, well, why can't I continue to do my job? I believe they are making calls, and there's no ban on them actively receiving phone calls from players they want to bring into their clubs. No. There's nothing stopping them, nor I don't think there should be. But in terms of physically returning to their clubs, I just don't see a way they can now that they've stood down without there being any form of resolve on all of this together. And this statement from the ABC too says that it wants its voice heard in this conversation as well. It's not just the contents of the Hawthorn report. There's another party in this now, that being the media arm of the reporting around it. So, again, ultimately, there's a lot going on, and everyone, and again, we keep saying it, we'll end up saying it 15 times in the space, everyone deserves and needs the natural justice, the due process to it. But while we're yet to get the establishment of the panel to form the AFL part of this, before it then hits the courts of the land, because there's going to be legal actions everywhere.
So what will the panel assess? The report, as in the Hawthorn report,
yes,
or the story, both?
Well, and that's a really good point. The AFL would only have the scope, I would think, under its systems to primarily address the report. But right. But with the ABC... Yeah. Coming into this now, they will need to be part of it as well. And the claims are now public, whether we like it or not, and whether people think it's unfair, and it is unfair to not have the response of the people being accused to this point, but that's the way it works, and that's what's happened via the ABC reporting.
I just hope that all clubs involved, with wherever they are, that they're supporting the people involved in this.
Yep.
Because it would be, I would hate to think, how difficult and emotional like that those accusations are,
yep,
and how the people would feel that have those accusations. I hope that the clubs have got their methodology and their people involved that are really supporting those people at the moment.
Mm. And unfortunately, there is no end in sight. There's not even a start to the end in sight part of it. So, yeah.